You know, I've got a question for you. When you hear the question, and I'd say that somebody's good, what do you experience? What do you register in your heart when you hear that word? Somebody's good. Does it give you stuff? A plank in the ribs or something? But what do you experience? What do you hear when you say something is good? What is your definition of that person? If that person is good according to your standards. Now, I think the English saying that says, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's something the same for if somebody's good. Because if I think Etienne is good, somebody else might think, no, Etienne's not good. Hy maak afgrappies. So beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but so is goodness, you know. Goodness is a relative term. Now, I had an experience at the end of last year, and this is where this word tonight comes from. Those of you sitting in the sun, I'm really sorry about that. We don't have any curtains. But just, it's about 20 minutes more. Okay. Then you'll be out of the sun. You know, I had this experience last, it's about the 24th, 23rd of December. It started and it continued for a while. But I'm going to tell you a little bit later what it was. But that's where God started working with me, you know. That's where God started asking me a couple of questions, like I've asked you now. Now, on top of that, Ross has started with, yeah, in the evening services and also in the morning services, he started with a series about, you know, who is God? Who do you think God is? Because all of us have a kind of perception about God and who He is. But if you go and you delve into His Word and what He says and what He reveals about Himself and how He reveals Himself, then you start to see, okay, maybe my perception of who God is might be a little bit warped. Now tonight's message says, I'm good because God is good. It's not the Val that's good or Etienne that's good or not good. It's because God is a good God. Now, when I say that, many of us will register, yes, amen, hallelujah. Some will say it religiously. You know, in some churches you go and then they say, God is good all the time. And all the time, so it gets drilled into them. But some of us will really experience that God is good and you will know it. But then, still, others of us sitting here will experience something different. You will look at me and you will say, Deval, yeah, that might be good for you. Or for somebody sitting next to me. But I don't really believe in my heart that God is good to me. But tonight, I'm trusting God that we can come and make a shift. So that God can come and show us His goodness through His Word. Now we're going to start our story off, and most of you know it. It's one of the stories that's recorded in the Synoptic Gospels. Now for those of you who don't understand that big word, it just means the Gospels that almost look the same. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay? They have got a chronological order, and all of them has roughly got the same idea. And then you get the maverick Gospel of John, but I'm not going to go into that tonight. I'm doing my thesis on that. So don't get me started. Mark 10 verse 17 says, and when he had gone out into the way, one came running up and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except one, and that is God. Now this guy, you must understand, he comes from a religious background, being a Jew and all that. And he runs to Jesus because he has heard, you know, some things from him. He runs to Jesus and he says, Jesus, good master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now many of us will, when somebody comes to us like that, no, you just pray the sinner's prayer. Hallelujah. But Jesus takes a different route. He says, why do you call me good? For no one is good except God. Now, Wayne Jackson notes in an article he wrote that this scripture is used by the Jehovah's Witnesses to explain that Jesus is not deity. Because they say that, you know, Jesus asked this because he was referring to God. He was not God. But I tend to agree with Mr. Jackson, and he says that's wrong. Because Jesus didn't say anything of that. What did Jesus do? He asked a question. Why did he ask a question? He asked a question because he wanted to test that guy's heart. What is his perception of good? And with the question, he also said to him, you know, indirectly with the question, are you willing, Mr. Coming to run to me, are you willing to concede that I am good and also then God? I think that must have been a tough challenge for that guy. But you know, him coming to Jesus, running to him, I think he made the wise decision in the end. But we're not going to go into that story too much. Now, good is a word that can be used in different ways. Now, the first way it can be used in, it's in a literal sense. You know, this water's good. Okay? The function that this water has is good. When those guys get beat up like that, their body is still functioning, so they say, I'm good. Okay? So, it's a literal sense that says, something fulfills its purpose, and then it's good. God made the light in the beginning in Genesis, and he says, and he looked at the light, and he says, it's good. Okay, so that's a way that the word good can be used in. The second way it can be used in is to signify character. Moral goodness, in other words. Now that's where things get shaky, because from that moral goodness, you can get two derivatives, if you want to put it like that. The first one is good can be used relatively, or good can be used absolutely. Now, if you look at me, you will see I'm relatively good. I'm not relatively good looking anymore because my hair is falling out. But my wife's back there, she loves me. Hallelujah. But whenever you look at anybody, the best thing that you can see in them is relative goodness. Why? Because you have to put it against something else to say, okay, you know, this person is good because that person is bad. So that you can get the relative sense of the word. Absolute goodness. And that's what we're going to spend our time on through tonight. God is absolute goodness. In him, there's no shadow of turning, no variation. He is absolutely good. Now that we understand those concepts, the fact that we have such a thing as goodness in our vocabulary, okay, says to us, listen, God needs to be in the picture. Let me explain. You cannot explain goodness in humanity through materialism or evolution. Okay, that's a deep statement, don't miss me now. Because those things says the survival of the fittest wins. So, if that is true, then when I beat you into the ground to get the top job and stab you in the back and all that, it's fine. It's survival of the fittest. That's how evolution works, isn't it? So, from a concept of that, you cannot get goodness. You only get goodness from God. Do you understand that? or it's a bit deep. Now let me put it simpler. If a person, you know, saying that a person is good from that perspective, it will be a ridiculous statement. Okay, because I've explained it to you just now. My ex-boss, when I was working in the financial industry, he always had this thing, when people, you know, turn 50 or 60, then you get people writing a couple of cards and saying, or saying to them over the mic, you know, may the next 60 years be just as blessed as the previous 60 years. And then he will always say, what a ridiculous statement. Because that guy's not going to live till 120. Okay, but anyway, we're not going into ridiculous statements tonight. Let us see what Scripture says about God's goodness. The first thing that we're going to look at in Psalm 145 verse 7, it says, the memorial of the abundance of thy goodness they send forth, and thy righteousness they sing. So, the first thing is, God's goodness is abundant goodness. His goodness towards you is an abundance. The second thing, it says there in verse 9 of 145, it says, good is Jehovah to all, and his mercies are over all his works. So, his goodness is for everybody. His goodness is for everybody. Now, just another thing, you know, it says there in Psalm 119, verse 68, don't have it on the board there, thou art good and does good. That's what David says. He says, God, you are good and you do good. And as you will see, most of the scriptures tonight comes from the Psalms. So maybe David understood something about God that many people missed. Because he continuously praises God as a good God. Psalm 51 verse 1 says, the goodness of God endureth continually. So the third thing tonight, and there's a lot more, I just picked out some that stood out for me, is that God's goodness toward you is forever. It endures continually. Now I read this and maybe some of you will think, yeah, out of all. But you need to open your hearts tonight, open your minds tonight, and just receive what God has in His Word for us. Because God's goodness is in abundance, it's for all, and it is eternal. Psalm 118 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. And many people that say that, yes, of all, that's good, come from a background where the pain, the suffering, and the evil in our world has corrupted their hearts and brought into their hearts the thing that says, the big question that people usually ask, to say, you know, God, if this God of yours is so good, why does He allow evil to be in our world? If He's all powerful, why does He allow that? You don't know the pain that I've been through. You weren't there when my father did this to me. You weren't there when this person said that to me. When my mother was killed. When my dad died in a crash. And you want to come and tell me that this is a good God that we serve? Yes. That's exactly what I want to come and tell you tonight. We serve a good God. When we are hurting, it is difficult to understand concepts like a good God. But let's just stop there for a moment. The first thing that we need to consider in that place is in Romans 5. Romans 5 verse 12. It is not God, it wasn't His fault that evil and sin came into the world. God made everything good. He made everything perfect. And because He gave us authority over this realm, and we said, no, we want to give it away, it wasn't God's fault. It was our fault. So God wasn't in this. He didn't do this because He felt like it. He's not a... Ek kan nie in die groot woord dink nie. Sadist. Romans 5:12 says, because of this, even as through one man, did sin enter into the world, and through the sin, the death, and thus to all men, the death that did pass through. For that all of us did sin. So Paul is writing here, and he says, because of one man, sin and evil and all the bad stuff came into this world. It wasn't God's fault. Let me put it simpler for you. If you say that it's God's fault that this happened, it's just as good as saying Henry Ford, who gave us the automobile, it's his fault that somebody dies in a car crash because that guy is driving the car drunk. It's the same thing. Is it his fault? No, he created the vehicle for good. That guy got intoxicated, drove that thing, and died. It wasn't Henry's fault. Same thing with God. It was our fault that sin and evil entered into this world. Now, let me take it one step further tonight. We're speaking about the goodness of God, and you're asking me questions about... I'm asking the questions, but it's fine. But you're asking me questions like, you know, this evil thing. Let me take it a step further. There was a guy who lived a couple of years back. And he got it into his mind that he wanted to create the perfect race. Who's that? Adolf Hitler. Okay? He wanted to do this because he wanted to create this perfect race. In the process, he killed millions of people. Alright? That's evil. I know. If Adolf Hitler didn't kill himself, and he was caught, and he was taken before a judge, and all the evidence was brought against him, and that judge looked at the evidence, looked at Adolf and said, you're innocent. What would we say about that judge? Good or bad judge? He's a bad judge. Why is he a bad judge? Because he didn't do good by convicting Adolf for the things that he's done. So God didn't bring evil into our world. But because God is a good God, He cannot let it go by as if nothing has happened. Because for Him, in essence, to still be good in an evil place, He needs to judge the evil. Do you understand that? So He needs to be good and judge the evil. And that's what He did. He told Adam, He said, cursed be the ground for your sake. God judged that evil because He is a good God. So don't lose me tonight. We serve a magnificently good God. Now, hey. Taking it further, if you take a father, if a father does not discipline his child, and he does as the world wants us to see. The world tells us, no, you let the child be to his own things and let him make his own decisions. Because that's tolerance and humane. What do you actually do? The Bible says, Proverbs 13 verse 24, he who spares the rod hates his son. If you do not discipline your son, the Bible actually says you hate your son. Why? Because if that person, that little person grows up without any boundaries, his life will end in destruction because you didn't discipline him, but you wanted to be nice to him. And because you were nice to him, he's dead or almost dead. Will he love you for that? No. If you discipline him, and he comes out right, at the end of the day, he will love you for that. Because he will know that you are a good father. And you're not a bad father. Now, my nut is a little bit too small for me to not spare the rod, even though I want to throw him out the window some days. But hallelujah, he's so cute. He's starting to smile at me, and that's the best thing ever. Because he was just laying there for 8 weeks, and I couldn't see anything. Now when he wakes up, it's like, Papa, I see you. It just blows your mind, man. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Okay, so contrary to common belief, it is, if you don't discipline your son, you actually hate him. Okay? So if God didn't judge evil, he would actually have hated us. But he doesn't. He's a good God. He loves us. Now, it's not God's fault. He's a good God. Our fault that we are in the place where we're in. But let me show you why we serve a good God, even in this mess that we live in. Yes, it is a mess. Yes, you get hurt. But we still serve a good God. First thing, God's goodness is shown to us by the fact that He richly provides for all His creatures. If you just look around you, you know, I don't know, we're going way past 6 billion on this planet. And if there weren't such a thing as greed, there would still be enough food for everybody on this planet. But because of greed and other people and, you know, all of those nice things, some people are living poor. But God shows His goodness to us by providing for all His creatures in abundance. It says there in Acts 14 verse 17, and yet He left Himself without witness, in that He did good and gave you from the heavens rains and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness. That's what the Bible says. God is good because He provides for us richly. And I want to tell you tonight, if you are sitting here and you're not experiencing this, go to your Father. He is a good God. You can go to Him. He wants to give you from His richness in the heavens that He has. But you must just believe that He is a good God. He wants to. Now, sometimes, you know, people don't believe that. And I think if you just look and see, the sun rises on the good and the bad people in this world. You don't walk around and see people walking in a solar eclipse all day long. This one goes in a solar eclipse, that one goes in a solar eclipse. No, the sun shines on everybody. It's kind of like, I don't know if you remember that guy on the blue line, the white little blind guy. He sometimes walked around with a cloud of thunder and raining just on him. And then he would go up. Because the rain is just on him. God is not like that. He makes His sunshine on everybody. Because He is a good God. Now, I heard this story once. There was a great thunderstorm. Now, I come from the Free State. I've been living in Cape Town now for 10 years. But there you get thunderstorms. Here you get a mimic of thunderstorms. Sometimes. But anyway, so when that thunderstorms come and they come through, then it's like all of a sudden there's this masses of waters. And it just flows and runs down everywhere. Now, I read the story once and there was a guy walking beside one of these rivers that came down. And, you know, somewhere, sometimes it makes a little pond where it's kind of still. And as he walks past, he sees there on, in that still part, but going to be dragged back into the rough waters again, is a log. And on the log is a scorpion. Now he goes and he helps the scorpion. Now as he stretches out his hand, the scorpion wants to sting him. And, you know, he takes the scorpion and he stings him and he drops him. And then he reaches for him again. And as this whole thing is going on, another guy is walking there and he sees this and he says, listen, dude, can't you see that the thing wants to hurt you? And the guy turns around and he says, His nature to do evil or to be bad doesn't change my nature to do good. And that's how God is. Our nature to rebel, to go away, to run away, it didn't turn God's heart away from us. It didn't turn His nature from being a good God. He still stays a good God. The second thing, the fact that God reveals Himself to mankind abstractly and concretely is a sign of His goodness. Oops. So that is for the arty people in the house. Not the coffee. God reveals Himself to us abstractly. Sometimes I struggle with that. Because I'm a man. You know, if you come to me with this airy-fairy ideas and stuff, then I would say, hallelujah, God bless you. Go for gold. But in the vastness of space, in the heavens, in the intricacies of our world, you see God. Every person with an open mind who looks at the evidence will see this is design, perfect design. And there is a God. So God reveals Himself to us abstractly. You know, in Romans 1 verse 20, Paul writes and says, the invisible things of Him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even His everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Okay, and he goes on further and he says, and he speaks about people that don't know the Word of God. This is where it takes them. God reveals Himself and He's given you His law on your heart. That's why you know that there's a good and bad. God has written it there because you know, even if you don't know Jesus or you don't know the Word, you know that if I kick you, it's not good. Because I don't like it if you kick me. Alright, so God has written that on our hearts. So He's revealed us, He revealed Himself to us through the heavens and all of that. But then also, concretely, He revealed Himself in the Scriptures. He gave us, not an SMS, not a fax, a book as thick as this, revealing Himself to us. Like Ross is preaching now. You know, God started somewhere and He said, you know, I am Jehovah, the powerful one. That's where He started, you know. Everybody saw the power and the majesty and all that. And then from there on, God revealed Himself through the Word until we come to Jesus. And Jesus was the epitome of God's goodness. Then ultimately, and that's where we're going now, God's goodness is revealed to us in His redemptive plan. Now our sin takes us away from God. And He is holy. And He is righteous. And sin, and what we did, went directly into His goodness. And He needed to judge that. Okay? We understand that now. Now, Sinisa, the Roman philosopher, said, we have all sinned, some more and some less. I'm a more sinner. Maybe you are a less sinner. But we have all sinned. And then, the Chinese proverb, it says, there are two good men. One is dead, and the other one is not yet born. Hallelujah for the Chinese. They can take a thing captive, man. So if you are born, then you are not a good person if you don't have Jesus. Now, if you've fallen asleep, please wake up now. Just going back to that big argument I built at the beginning. Remember that God was under no moral obligation to rescue us from our sins. God laid out the law, we broke it. And the wages of sin is death. God was under no moral obligation from anyone to rescue us. but God. Hallelujah. His goodness is shown to us in His redemptive plan that He has for us. That even when we go directly in against everything that He said that we shouldn't do, He's still good enough in His heart. His heart pounds for us. He wants us. That He works out a redemptive plan so that we can have fellowship with Him again. And not compromising His goodness. He needed to judge sin. Somebody needed to die for sin. Because that's what God said. So God is a good God. It needs to happen. How is He going to do that? He sends Jesus. Hallelujah. In Matthew 18, we read a story. And the story is about a man who has got a lot of debt to the king. So he comes to the king, and the king says, listen, you owe me, and it was worked out, somewhere in the region of 100 million rand. Now, who of you can work off 100 million rands of debt in your lifetime? Please show me the rich people so that I can come and meet you. 100 million rands is what that guy owed the king. So he went into the king, he begged the king. He said, my lord, I don't know what I'll do. I'll do anything. I'll pay you back. Please have mercy on me. And the great thing about the story is that king has compassion on the guy and he says, listen, I forgave you all your debt. You go, you're free. That was the story that Jesus told just to show us the predicament that we were in. There's no way that you can pay off 100 million in your lifetime unless you're Bill Gates or somebody. Well, for the common man, it's not going to happen. And Jesus told that story because that's where we are. That's where we were. We could never have done it, but God made a plan. Romans 5 says, and this is the best thing of it all. Romans 5, verse 6 to 8. For while we were yet sinners, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. But maybe for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is a good God. In the midst of our turmoil, in the midst of our debt, which is so big that we cannot pay it back, the goodness of God comes through for us. Because He is a good God, He comes to us and He says, come, my children, I've made a plan for you. I don't want you to be outside. I don't want you to be in debt. But you need to know that God is a good God. You know, the world system teaches us that that's not so. Even some of us coming from a religious background, you sit there and you think, you know, God is this man with a stick and He wants to beat me whenever I do sin. It's a lot of nonsense. When God looks at you, He sees nothing but Jesus. So please, don't let your sins and the stuff that you do hold you back from coming to God, thinking that you need to pay something before you can come to Him. You can pay nothing. So even if you've sinned, know that He is a good God. He wants you to come to Him. But if you don't think He's a good God, we stay away. And it's just stupid. He is a good God. Now, I'm finishing tonight. Hey, I've still got a lot of time. Hallelujah. Okay, so now I can tell a couple of stories. There are no bounds when it comes to the goodness of God. God is a good God. He is a good God to me. He is a good God to you. He is awesome. And I will join in that chorus that says, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. No matter what your experience is, no matter what you think, God is a good God. It wasn't His fault that we're in with the situation that we're in, but His good heart towards us made a plan. And the only way that you can stay outside of the goodness of God is if you don't accept the plan that He has made, which is Jesus Christ. More than that, God cannot do. Because He is holy, He's righteous, and for Him to be good, He needs to judge sin. So if you stand before Him one day, your sin needs to be judged. But if Jesus stands next to the Father and He says, Abba, that one's ours. I've paid for him. Then your sin is dealt with. God is good. God is righteous. He did what He needed to do. He judged your sin. But because you believe Him and what He's done for you, you've been excused. Because God is a good God. Now, this brings me to my story in the beginning and where tonight comes from. Is that I had the experience of one of my close family members. You know, I've offended him in some way, but it's one of those things that happens, huh? And for almost a month, he didn't speak to me at all. And I was staying there. And it's so easy to fall into the trap, you know, of saying, okay, now I'm going to show you. I'm not going to speak to you for 2 months. Because that's how we are. As fallen human beings, that's what we want to do. But I was so challenged with the goodness of God. Because it says in the Word, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Deval, it is my goodness that led you to repentance. Not my manipulation of you. Not my judging you with all stuff and throwing things on you. It's my goodness that led you to me. What are you going to do? So maybe you're sitting here tonight. You've got some of those people in your life. You are so offended with them or they with you, and you don't want to speak to them ever again. I want to lay it out there tonight. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. If that person does not know Jesus Christ, you are the agent for the goodness of God to get to that person. Hallelujah. No amens to that, huh? You are the agent for God's goodness to shine to this world. If you fall into the trap of being so stupid in your mind that you think, I'm not going to do that because that person has offended me and he was wrong, then we're not going to reach anybody for Jesus. Because when Jesus hung on that cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Yes, that person hurt you. Yes, that person made fun of you. Are you willing to say, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he's doing? And then love him in return. Phone him. For a month on end, leave voicemails. And say what's going on in your life. Keeping the contact there. Because God is a good God. And if we imitate Him, then we are good people. Now, the application of God's goodness. What does this mean? If God is a good God, what does it mean for us tonight? Well, the first thing it means, because God is good, we may expect instruction from Him. How wonderful is that? It says there in Psalm 25 verse 8, good is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in His way. His goodness makes Him stoop down to tutor us. You know, it's just a word of caution here or something. But God's goodness makes us have the expectation. It can make you have the expectation that He will instruct you. So if you're sitting here tonight, because God is a good God, He wants to instruct you. Okay? Now please, don't be like a guy I met a couple of weeks back. He was in transition of fasts. Okay? So he was coming from a full fast and he's going on to a Daniel fast. But we were having lunch somewhere, and this guy that we had lunch with, he makes a mean cup of coffee. So now while he's in this transition fast, he's having his little coffee. And then he's going on to the Daniel fast. So I'm asking him, listen dude, what are you fasting for? And he tells me, he says, no, I'm just fasting until I hear what God wants, until I hear what I want to hear from God. And I was thinking, I say, dude, don't waste your time, man. Just do what you want. Because if you want to hear something from God, you will hear it. Let me tell you. God, is she my wife? No. Are you sure, God? Yes. Yes. Yes, she's my God. No, she's my... No, sorry, God. God will instruct you in His ways. But don't hear what you want to hear. Hear what God actually says to you. And sometimes it's not nice. If a father doesn't discipline his son, he's a bad father. Sometimes God will tell you stuff that you don't want to hear. Let go of your addiction, Deval. It's so lekker, Lord. Then God will stay there until you leave your addiction with you. But that'll be in the same place. You will go nowhere with God, even if you think so. You do what God tells you, and you will go on. So sometimes God, even like with Joseph, in Genesis 50, verse 20, you know what happened to Joseph? He was sold into slavery. I don't want to be a slave to anybody. He sat in prison for a while. I don't know how many years, but it was a couple. And then, at the end of his life, we read this. Because if you sit in prison, and then God's not a good God, huh? What does Joseph say? Joseph says the following. Genesis 15, verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save a great many people. So I'm standing here tonight telling you, we serve a good God. The stuff in your life is there for the good. Unless you're silly and you keep not listening to God. But if there are things in your life that's not so nice, like maybe being in prison, maybe feeling a little bit in the desert, God wants to build your character because He means it for your good. Because God is a good God. Amen? God is a good God. Even in bad situations, God is a good God. My mother died when I was in standard 8. It was a bad situation. But as I stand here today, I will not give it away for anything in the world. The most precious times in my life with the Lord was that time when my mother died. Because I serve a good God. Even though things might look so bad, we serve a good God. The second thing, God's goodness impels Him to remove the punishment due to our crimes. Now this we know. Psalm 86 verse 5 says, Thou, O Lord, are good. There's that good thing again. And then, and ready to forgive. It says that God is ready to forgive. So why aren't everybody forgiven? Because they're not ready to come to God. Because they know not that He is a good God. And if you're sitting here tonight, and you've got stuff in your life, maybe you've given your life to the Lord a while back. If you've got stuff in your life, you've sinned, it's fine. We serve a good God. He is ready to forgive. You just need to humble yourself and get to the throne of God. He's made provision for you. If you come to Him and say, Lord, forgive me, please. He's ready to forgive. And He will. Lift that burden off of you. You can walk out this place free. All of the debt away. 100 million bucks. Gone. Number three, God is good. And we may have comfort in addressing Him. This is an amazing thing. Because God is a good God, we can address Him as Abba Father, our Daddy. He's made a way for us to address Him and have comfort in addressing Him. Not being blasé about it, but just coming into Him with, into His courts with boldness. Fourth thing, almost finished. His goodness urges us to know Him and to have fellowship with Him. Job 22 verse 21, I don't know if you've read Job's story. Also not a good story. A couple of stuff happening to Job. He would say that God is a bad God. I mean, he's lost everything. But what does Job say? Job says in Job 22 verse 21. He says, acquaint thyself with God, and thereby good shall come unto you. God has made provision for us to get to know Him. But you must want to get to know Him. You must know that He's a good God. He wants to see you. He wants you in His courts. He wants to get to know you. And He wants you to get to know Him. First thing, God's goodness is a comfort to us in all our afflictions. Like I've said, there's many things in this life that are bad, that are evil, that hurts us. But God is a comfort to us in our affliction. We can run to Him with everything. He will. It says there in Psalm 84 verse 11, He withholds nothing good from those that walk uprightly. And since God is love, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5, it says there in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, it goes like, Mornay, is he here? He shared with us on missions. One morning he said, God is love. Okay, he showed us that. And then he read 1 Corinthians 13. And it says there, love does this, love does that. Okay, and he just took that natural thing, you know, God being love. He just exchanged the word love with God. And it's the same thing that happens here in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5. And since God is love, love thinks no evil. God thinks no evil. He will never try to hurt you. Even if it feels to you that God is trying to hurt me, He means it for your good. And the last thing tonight. Because God is good, He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Even if it's spiritual or if it's physical, God is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Romans 8:28. We are persuaded that all things work together for good to them that love God. And that's what I want to leave you with tonight. We serve a good God. His essence is good. Everything about Him is ultimately, absolutely good. And no matter where you are in your life, the goodness of God is there for you. And God will work everything together for your good because you love Him and because He's a good God. So, Etienne, if you can just... with the worship team.